come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What a kick up punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we break down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. We'll get to your phone calls. We'll get to your tweets. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. You can use hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter on our Big Blue Kickoff Live page where you can interact with fellow Giants fans. We'll get to your thoughts throughout the course of this program. We'll have a special guest joining us at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Joe Ganascoli, actor from The Sopranos, a big Giants fan, and he has an interesting product out tied in with the NFL, so he'll tell us about that, and he'll tell us his thoughts on Big Blue as the Giants are riding a three-game winning streak, Jeff.
Yeah.
Coming off an impressive win over the St. Louis Rams on Sunday, 37-27, and a lot of good things to build upon.
Impressive. Very impressive. I think that one thing that stands out to me in that game is the play of Eli Manning. He continues to have, in my mind, an incredible season. You know, really trying to go after the goals that he set for himself and the team coming into this season. Accuracy, you know, cut down on the interceptions. You look at it, I think it's 13 interceptions he has this year. Five of them in one game.
The Niners game.
And so, I mean, you really look at the production he's doing that, and then not to mention just how he continues to lead this new offense that they brought in here under Ben McAdoo. And certainly the emergence of Odell Beckham helps that. But I think more importantly, what helps Eli Manning and Odell Beckham is the play of this offensive line the last 3 or 4 weeks. I think they've done an outstanding job at protecting him. And I think finally they got the running game going this weekend with Andre Williams filling in for injured Rashad Jennings. And, you know, you look back at the Eagles game earlier in this season and you find out that, you know, this is when the first time that Andre Williams got that starting nod, because Rashad Jennings had went out in the game before that with that knee injury. And certainly when you look back at that injury, that has significant impact on the Giants season going forward, because from that point on, they really suffered and they went on that losing streak, and running the football was quite the I don't even know what the word to call it, but you know, so yeah. But last week, and two, Lance, I think because of this melee that happened in the game, I thought that this Giant team responded extremely well after that, because, you know, they tried to take Odell Beckham out of that game. They couldn't do it on the field. They had to do it off the field, and that didn't work, but the team responded to that, and they came back and really played well.
Odell Beckham continued to put up solid numbers throughout the course of the game,
yeah.
Even though they were very physical with him. It got chippy. That was well displayed, but the team did respond, and the team defended one another, and you heard a lot of the players in the locker room, Demontre Moore and Preston Parker, thrown out of the game, but you know, everybody came to the aid of Odell Beckham. If there's a positive spin to this, Jeff, it's the fact that it actually rallied the group somewhat.
There's no question. I think, you know, playing in the National Football League, it's a brotherhood, and you know what? When you know that your teammates got your back, And even it comes to the expense of losing guys in the game, and you know, you never want to see that happen. And you know, financially it hurts, because those are young guys and they're going to get fined ultimately, because when you get kicked out of a football game, you're definitely getting fined for it. But more importantly, you know that your teammates are with you, and when something like that happens, it's good to see guys fighting back. I'll give you one quick example, and since we are in Eagles week, this kind of happened to, you know, earlier when I was with the Giants. We had a situation where in one of the games against the Eagles, the kicker Akers had come down the sidelines Charlie Way took out on a kickoff and was running down and gave him a kind of, just busted him in the face. And, you know, it's funny because, you never forget something like that. And then I also got taken out, by Jeremiah Trotter on a hit. Well, the following year, my teammates had my back, because in one of the games against the Eagles, the first one that next season, we were able to David Akers got on the sideline again, but Luke Pettigrew and Antonio Pierce, they took David Akers behind the bench and laid the wood on him. I mean, it was just they were just pouncing him, and I say that because those guys both got fined, and but it sent a message that, you know what, you're not going to mess with our players even a year later. So, you know, your guys, the players, if they know that you have your back, it's a good feeling. And I'm not condoning that things like that should happen, but it's part of football. It really is.
So for those of you out there who believe that kickers and punters don't take fair share of their hits, then obviously they're mistaken, because clearly you've taken your fair share.
I took that for Giants fans to remember that. It was pretty I got my own rule made after that hit, because it was uncalled for. I wasn't even near the play. And Jeremiah took me out, and the next year they put a rule in there that you're not allowed to hit any kickers or punters if they're not within 15 yards of the play, which, by the way, I'm never within 15 yards of the play.
You try to avoid that.
I try to kick the ball out of bounds and then just run off the field. And if I didn't kick it out of bounds, I'm at least 30 or 40 yards behind, because, you know, I'm that ultimate safety that's going to make the big play if someone gets through. But so, yeah, we are definitely part of the team, and we do take our licks every once in a while. But so.
You brought up the offensive line play a little bit earlier in the program, and I think that's a relevant topic heading into this Eagles game, Jeff, because if there was one game where pass protection struggled the most, it was in the Eagles game. Philadelphia had 8 sacks on Eli Manning. They struggled on third down. Continuity on offense was very difficult to build. So this is an opportunity for the Giants not only close out the season on a 4-game winning streak, Jeff, but, you know, really make a statement here against a team that is mathematically eliminated in Philadelphia, and we'll get a little bit more into the Eagles later on the program. But, you know, they are looking for a bit of redemption considering how lopsided that affair was earlier this season.
There's no question, and this is a division game, and you know, anytime you get beat up on by a division opponent like the Giants did in week 6 this year, that was a thumping by the Eagles on the Giants. And, you know, you go back to the offensive line, just going back on my notes from that game, 10 penalties that game, 7 of them came on from the offensive line. So they've got to do a better job at that, but I think they will. I think that, you know, early on in the season, this offensive line was just getting to an idea of how to play next to each other and trying to develop some continuity. And I think that at this point in the season, the Giants offensive line has done that, especially the last few weeks. And I think they do have a redemption. They got to come back and play well, and I think they will. And I think it's a time when you're going to go and try to go out on a winning note. A 4-game winning streak against a division rival is important.
And Odell Beckham has an opportunity to make it 9 straight games with at least 90 receiving yards, which would match Michael Irvin's record.
Yeah.
So he could continue to rewrite the record books, considering he's already broken just about every Giants rookie record imaginable
and
at this point.
This just goes to show you, for those of you who watch, or excuse not watch, but listen to our pregame show, we have our fact or fiction segment that we do. And one of the questions in this game earlier in the season about Odell Beckham, it just goes to show you how the numbers are increasingly going higher. One of the fact or fiction questions was, will Odell Beckham have 50 yards or more? So we are now doubling that. So I thought it was kind of ironic because, you know, that was at the onset of Odell's career this year. And when we're talking about 50 yards, will Odell Beckham have one play of 50 yards? It just goes to show you how well this young man has done. And, you know, he's chasing history with that Michael Irvin stat of those consecutive games. Not consecutive, it's 9.
9 straight games with at least 90 receiving yards.
That is amazing. And, you know, you look at what's going to happen next year with Victor Cruz coming back, hopefully healthy. It's pretty promising for this offense.
And especially with the way Reuben Randle performed against St. Louis, he has shown flashes here or there.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Reuben Randle. I think that, you know, the team put some pressure on him. I think the coaching staff has always tried to put pressure on him, but more importantly, this game. And I think that they knew, because of what Odell Beckham has been doing, they understand that the Rams defense was going to bracket or double team Odell, and they saw an opportunity for Reuben Randle to really have a presence in this game, and he responded with that. Coach Coughlin said yesterday in his press conference that he was excited about how he prepared for this game in particular. My advice to Reuben Randle is to take that and go with it and understand that that's how you should prepare for every game. No matter what position you are, you have to be able to prepare. And that's all about being a veteran and getting experience in this league. And I think that if he can learn from that, that the Giants fans and the organization will want him to play like he did last week, next year, and even this week coming up against the Eagles.
And Tom Coughlin was asked about this during his conference call yesterday, Jeff. You know, when everybody started to speculate about this new offense and what it would look like if it was clicking on from all angles and all cylinders, you know, we got a glimpse of that on Sunday when the running game is working, Eli Manning gets time, multiple weapons chip in. This offense is capable of doing plenty of damage, regardless of whether it's against the 32nd-ranked defense or against a well-respected defense in St. Louis. And the Rams' defense came in. This was a physical defense. This was a defense that had the ability to get to the quarterback. They had a young secondary, but they've been pretty stingy against the pass as well as the run. So, you know, for those of you out there who don't want to put much stock or substance in this game, I would disagree with that sentiment, Jeff. They went out there and they beat up a very good defense.
And the defense that is not allowing a lot of points. The Giants put up 30 points or more on this team. And really, when you think about this team against the Rams, they beat some good teams this year. So, you know, last week we were talking about everyone's like, okay, we want to see what this Giants team can do against a decent team. Well, they went up against a really, really good defense, and they exploited them. So, yes, and you know what? That's exciting to know because this is starting to – the wheels are in motion here, and I think guys are learning the offense as they go, but they're starting to understand what can really happen if this all starts to work. And if that's the case – it should continue this week against the Eagles and then moving into the next year. And what happens in, when you're in year two of a new offense, there's new pages that are inserted into that playbook. And, you know, they have all offseason to study what they've done this year and then, more importantly, start to develop new plays and new system that they can actually try to implement into the season going forward. So, and that's going to include Victor Cruz in that equation, which is very, very, very exciting, really exciting.
Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. We are taking your phone calls at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's open up the phone lines. We start with Michael in New Jersey. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, Mike.
Mike, are you there? Mike going once, Mike going twice. Mike is a man of very few words this morning. All right, let's move on. How about Dre in Atlanta? Dre, what's happening?
What's going on, Figs? How's everything?
Doing well, Dre. How about yourself? What you got?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, that Rams game was a sight to see. I'm very optimistic about our offense next year, you know, especially that 45-yard run by Andre Williams. I mean, I can see what Howard Cross is talking about in reference to seeking contact. He ran right over that safety to get extra yards. I like that. But my question is primarily about the defense. You know, we have several defensive players that contracts are up this year, and who knows what our defense, if Perry Fuel is going to come back. So are these players primarily auditioning for another team, or are we going to bring back Roll and bring back JPP?
Well, they're auditioning not only for, you know, the free agents for the rest of the 31 team, but they're more importantly auditioning for the team that they're on because, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Sometimes greener means more money. But the fact is that, you know, they why not stay with the team that you're with? You understand the routines, you know, this and that. And, you know, we're not going to sit and speculate on any type of coaching moves or personnel, stuff like that. But the fact we're just basically, if everything's coming back, they are getting evaluated. They've been evaluated all year, but more importantly, this last game is going to be important for a lot of these guys on this team. And then it's going to be important for the organization to make the right decisions. And they will. They understand the evaluation process is there. That's why there's a little bit of gap between the end of the season and when free agency starts, because you got to do your homework and you got to start evaluating guys not only on your roster but others and put a list together, and that's how you do it.
And Dre, to add to that, sometimes the best way to evaluate a player, Jeff, and you can add to this, when you're put in a situation where there's not much on the line in terms of a playoff spot or a divisional win, when you're just going out there and playing your finale, sometimes you want to see how a player responds.
Well, that's where you see character. That's where you see the drive of players, and you understand that, you know, some guys cash it in and some guys don't. And, you know, they just – but this team has not done that. I have not seen any quit in this team whatsoever, and I've said it once, I've said it again. It all starts at the top, and that's with Coach Coughlin. He does a nice job of getting these guys. But the true also is the fact that I got to give, you know, compliments to the team game itself, for rallying around each other and coming out here these last 3 weeks and playing well. And I've said this before, too. You go back to the San Francisco, the Jacksonville, and Dallas games, you know, those games were so close. The teams, they could have won those games, and they could be looking, really, if you think about it, going into almost a, what would be three and a seven-game winning streak to end the season. I know that's all, it's not what it is, but the fact is, go in and win this next one, you've at least got four in a row.
And appreciate the phone call, Dre. Thanks so
much,
Dre, for weighing in. Let's head to Mitch in Orlando. Mitch, what's happening?
Hey, Mitch.
Hello, I'm doing good.
Doing well, Mitch. What you got?
I think the whole situation with Ruben Randle, I think yes, he needed that good game. And this upcoming game, he does need another good game. But I think in offseason, we should just trade him, let another team, you know, take a chance for him next year if he's going to be good or not. I think, you know, he's had his chance. I think it's time for us to get, you know, a bigger wide receiver. We have Victor. We have Odell, you know. So he's had his chance. He's doing good, but I think his time is just up.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I know he's still in a contract, so I mean,
he's still on his rookie contract. He's a young guy.
Yeah, and I think as his second round pick, I know around the building here, the Giants are they hold a very high regard for their draft picks, and you know, they don't trade them very often. And I obviously, you know, there's not that many trades in the National Football League, anyways. But you know,
yeah.
I got to disagree in the fact that, you know, let's this guy can play, and I think that he just needs to improve. Between the years, more than anything, and be a little bit more physical. He's a big guy, you know, so you don't really, you know, you're going to go out and find a 6'4" guy that's going to learn, but you're going to end up paying him. You already got Ruben Randle on a rookie contract. He's not making a whole lot of money. You might as well roll the dice with him and kick him in the butt and try to get some more production out of him next year.
And Mitch,
okay.
Mitch, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Have a good one, Mitch.
As you just alluded to, Jeff, there's
holidays.
You
same
too.
To you, Mitch. Appreciate that. There's salary cap implications. A lot of teams, they like to build their teams around draft picks because, as you mentioned, you're not spending a great deal of money on rookies.
No, you're not. And really, when we were kind of talking off air on Sunday about this, is that when we talk about the draft picks that are here this year, they have had a great draft. These guys have had a lot of production. You're going to have a draft next year. You know, you're building this team, and Ruben Randle was one of your second round draft pick. You got to keep him around and still develop him. He's still a young player, but more importantly, he has so much opportunity next season with Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz and him being that third wideout. They can't cover three people.
He's going to get favorable matchups.
And so he's got to understand that, you know, I look at the opportunity I have to have an unbelievable year. But more importantly, that'll be his fourth year next season.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, so he's probably on a five-year contract. You're building for that future. And come back and have an opportunity to be the third receiver under Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz tells me if I'm Ruben Randle, I'm going to have a big year next year. And then the following year, maybe the Giants decide to restructure my contract and give me an extension. Rather than say, you know what, I'm just going to throw it all out there. I'm going to quit on – you don't want to do that. I cannot for the life of me figure out what Hakeem Nicks was thinking about last year. I mean, when you're on your final contract year, why are you shutting it down? I mean, when I was on every year I played, my final year of my contract, that had to be my best year because it's only going to make me money. If I take the year off, that does nothing for me. I mean, I'm losing money, and I just don't think these young guys understand that sometimes.
It's a pretty scary situation for the opposition out there when you look at what Beckham's doing, and he doesn't have as many compliments as he would have next
right.
season. Victor Cruz is not even on the field,
yeah.
And Odell Beckham is still torching just about every member of the secondary imaginable. So you add those guys on the field. You have Ruben. You have Larry Donnell.
Yeah, throw Larry Donnell in there another year. Okay, he's got a lot of experience this year. Number one priority for him next year is ball security, getting him to understand how to take care of that football and blocking. But he is a young talent, and you throw him in the mix. This offense, you know, and they're getting a lot of attention because of what we've seen as of late. And then, you know, defensively is another discussion. But we got players coming back from injury next year. You got to think about Prince coming back. You got to think about Walter Thurman, who may be asked to come back. You know, they didn't get all they wanted out of him because he got hurt. Ontre Roe is going to be another guy that you're going to have to, you know, figure out what they're going to do with him and what he wants to do, whether he comes back or goes somewhere else. And of course, the biggest question, who, as of late, has just you know, skyrocketed up the sack numbers is JPP.
And, 10.5 now.
So I think that his going out part. already this week coming up against the Eagles is going to be his last one with the Giants, as he knows for now. And you know, who knows what will happen next year.
Battle in the trenches, that's been the biggest area that has helped the Giants so much during the course of this three-game winning streak. As Jeff mentioned, number of guys chipping in terms of sacks, Eli getting good pass protection.
No question.
And he was certainly challenged against a very stingy front seven by St. Louis. Let's head back to the lines. 201-939-4513. Charlie is in Maine. Charlie, what's happening?
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, guys.
What's up? You bring it. All right, so come on now. We want Charlie. We need you to be up tempo today. Okay,
positive. Well, he's always up tempo. It's just a matter of whether he's positive,
positive.
Like you said.
I'll be as up as I can, but I want to break down this game for you.
Sure.
All right. On the offense, Eli was phenomenal. His passes were right there where they could catch him, and the Davis actually has some separate.
Now, Charlie, I don't mean to interrupt. Phenomenal. Have you ever used that vocabulary word on this show? This may be a first.
Sure.
We may need to take note of this. December 23rd at 12:20 p.m. Eastern, Charlie pays the Giants a compliment using the word phenomenal.
I love Eli. Okay? So he was playing well. But, I mean, I really thought Eli was going to be in the hospital this weekend. But,
not
thankfully,
really.
Will Beattie had four holding penalties, or he might have been. You know, so that's one thing. And I was glad that Beattie did that, because Beattie said, Quinn is not going to beat me. I don't care. I'm going to do whatever I got to do. And if it's holding him, that's what I'm going to do. So I'm glad he did that. I think the offensive line played well. I didn't think they played great, because Eli got the ball out so quickly. Special teams, we played well. We got a fumble. That was great. But the defense, how can you give up 27 points to an anemic offense as the St. Louis Rams.
Got to get the states right here.
I just can't believe they gave up 20, and the offense didn't help give them those 27 points. They gave up 27 points in week 17. How can you still have a secondary that does not communicate and doesn't know?
Yeah, they had that one breakdown for a big play. You're right. Yep. Hey, we're not going to argue with you on that, okay? I mean, there are some gleaming problems in that secondary and that defense that they've got to fix and they have to address. There's no question.
I mean, I'm looking at it, and I don't think it was Stevie Brown. It might have been him, but I'm looking at it as Stevie Brown's going to go try to double team the best receiver they had, was Kenny Britt, and that's where he was going. DRC was there with nobody. When he let that guy go, there was nobody. He was in no man's land. There was no tight end over there. There was no receiver over there. I just don't get it. So I'm going to put it on him, but it might not have been him. But I think it was. But anyway, so that, to me, is like in Wynn. You guys haven't talked about Wynn.
He had a great game.
Why wasn't this guy playing after we had the three-game losses? Why wasn't he put in there? You know, that's the thing is, all these rookies that we are just touting and saying how great they're playing – if you really look at it, none of them would have played except for Odell, and he probably would have just had certain packages, because if Cruz didn't get hurt and Jernigan didn't get hurt, he probably wouldn't even have played that much unless they, you know, he just showed them how incredible.
Well,
was.
But I mean, that's tough to speculate about, Charlie. And Charlie, I don't mean to cut you off. That's a little premature to speculate. And Charlie obviously is tuning me out today. What else is there? All right, no, I didn't mean to cut you off, Charlie. I think it's a little too much to speculate that this guy wasn't going to play and that guy wasn't going to play because of injuries. Their plan was to always have a balanced rushing attack between Andre Williams and Rashad Jennings. So I don't think the Rashad Jennings injury all of a sudden opened the door for Andre Williams. He had more carries, but they never anticipated, Jeff, to have Rashad Jennings have 25 to 30 carries a game.
No, Andre Williams is going to be that guy to come in and relieve Jennings.
I'm saying if David Wilson wasn't injured, he would have not seen the field very much. That's all I'm saying. Richburg would have not been the guard if Snead could have continued and played, or if Swartz didn't get injured. I mean, you got to think of this.
But you know Richburg, what? Here's my thing.
Just let me say this. Richburg comes out as a rookie. He was actually a center. He played center for 3 years or 4 years, whatever it was. And he actually beat out James Brewer, Mosley, Herman, who are guards. So that tells you that, and these guys have been with us for 3 or 4 years. Why are these three guys even on the roster? If a rookie who is out of position, who can come in and take their spot, why are they on the roster?
Well, you need depth, one. Number two, okay.
Yeah, I want depth.
Yeah.
If
Well, James Brewer's on the roster because he was a draft pick.
Out of position, that tells me that these guys can't play.
Well, I just think that it's, you know, when we go down and start to really get into every single position and say, why is he on the roster? James Brewer was drafted, okay? I mean, these guys, you got to have these guys, and it's not a perfect science. You got to get them in here and see what they can do. Obviously, those guys had not been doing well enough to be able to crack the starting lineup. You get Richburg, who's the second-round draft pick, who they ultimately know is going to be their starter someday, and find out that, yeah, you know what? He accelerated a little bit quicker and got into the lineup because of injury. But the fact is he's there, and he got that experience. And you go down and look at all the other guys that have been able to play from this rookie class. Ultimately, they were going to get their chance. But now some of them are getting that starting position because of injuries, and that's all you can ask for. As long as they come in and they play and they're doing what they expect them to do, and probably some of these guys are playing way above what they thought they would do as a rookie. I mean, really, when you think about it, Devin Kennard, I mean, come on, you didn't think he was going to play as well as he has. I mean, you know that he's going to be a good player. He was a fifth-round draft pick, you know?
Right,
so,
but he wouldn't have played as a bunch of people got injured.
Charlie. It's all about opportunities.
Let's talk about Wynn. There is a classic example of a guy that made the 53-man roster barely. Yeah. He barely made the 53-man roster, so that just tells you something, that he's probably not going to be one of those guys that's going to play a lot this season, that we're going to develop him, okay? He was he's inactive every week, and then finally towards the end of the season, he starts getting into the lineup, and then all of a sudden DeMontre Moore gets thrown out of the game, and now he gets a chance to shine. Not to mention what he did the week before he got in. I understand what you're saying about, it's like, well, why didn't this guy come in earlier in the season? The answer to that is that they're trying to develop DeMontre Moore. That's the guy they need to get in the lineup. So it's not so much about Kerry Wynn as it is about DeMontre Moore.
And, Charlie, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in.
Thing, Jeff,
yeah, Charlie.
I just want to say, you punters are very smart.
look at him buttering you up at the end of the phone call. How lovely.
You know what, Charlie? I'm waiting for the classic Charlie, but.
Jeff, you got away with words, however.
The punter, he was the guy that took Beckham out of the scrum. He was smart enough to go, get away from this.
Yeah.
We don't need you getting thrown out. So yeah. I just wanted to put that out.
Well, we appreciate it. And happy holidays to you, Charlie.
All right, Charlie. Thanks for the phone call.
Thanks, buddy.
Happy Hanukkah, guys.
Yep,
same to you. And one of the things, Jeff, that you just touched on, and I think this could expand to a bigger conversation, when Charlie says, you know, why didn't these guys play in week one, week two? Who's to say that perhaps the practice development allowed them to perform that way by week 10? And they may have not been ready in week two and week three had they even been thrown in. So to say, well, wait a minute, Kerry Wynn's doing this and that, he's a game changer, you can't assume that you throw him right into the mix in week two that he's going to have the same type of productivity.
And let's talk a little bit about all those people that were talking about Jerry Reese and this and that and this and that. I mean, Kerry Wynn, did anybody know about Kerry Wynn? He's from Richmond, of all places. Not a big powerhouse football team, okay? And so, you know, seeing kind of the talent, and then you look at this draft class. A guy like Kerry Wynn is one of those players that you sit there and say, you know, this is pretty impressive coming from Richmond, and to go on to your point is the development of those guys through the season. It's been well. You look on the flip side of it is some guys aren't developing as you'd like them to. Corey Washington, you hear it all the time. You know, they're just not getting it done in practice. They're not doing this and that. Kerry Wynn has most likely did what he's had to do in practice to get on that field, to get on the active roster. You know, Lance and I always get the inactives every week on our pregame, and Pat Hanlon does a nice job of getting them out to us early. And sure enough, every week, Kerry Wynn.
Yeah.
You know, then all of a sudden he gets in there and does exactly what every player should do when they have an opportunity. Not a lot of them are able to do it, but some guys do. He took advantage of the opportunity. He's played well. Coach Coughlin had in his press conference said, I got to tell you, it's about to Kerry Wynn. I got to give him props. He's played well. And now this kid is going to have a good offseason, and now they're going to look at him for depth of next year, because one thing about Kerry Wynn is he can play inside and he can play outside. So whatever happens with JPP and all that other stuff that's going to go on, they know that Kerry Wynn has got some quality reps in games. He had a fumble recovery. He had an interception and a sack last week. That's some good stuff.
you look top to bottom at this rookie class, this is going to benefit the Giants tremendously moving forward, Jeff. Sure. And we talked about this on the radio broadcast leading up to the Rams game. All the way from top to bottom, Nat Burhe, key special teams member, he's gotten some starting experience on defense. You know, this is going to help in their development moving forward. And very few rookies, this is not just the Giants, this is across the board, yeah, get thrown into starting roles, whether it be injuries or because they won the job in training camp right from the start. So this is really going to put them in a strong position moving forward.
And I think a good if you want some homework, I mean, go back and look at the draft classes around the National Football League and try to compare where those draft picks, the production, or actually how many games played that their draft class has played this year. And I got to believe that the Giants are going to be up there in reps and amount of time that their guys have played. The only guy that got, that, you know, Jackson, is it Bennett Jackson, who was their seventh round draft
pick? Who was put on IR with the practice squad.
So, I mean, you know, they got a lot of production out of this class, and not to mention last year's class, you know. So Jonathan Hankins is a guy that you look at him last year, and he was kind of in a developmental role, and then he gets a lot of playing time this year, who has been very impactful on that defensive line. And, you know, the guy to have how many sacks that he has this year is pretty remarkable.
Well, Big Blue Kickoff Live is about our discussions as well as you, the fans, and no bigger Giants fan than we are joined by right now. You probably know him from his role on The Sopranos as Vito, and that is Joe Ganascoli. Joe, really appreciate the time today. How's everything?
Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys, what's happening? Thank you for having me on.
Hey, this is a pleasure to have you guys come on the show and talk a little bit about what's going on in your life. We certainly, for all of our fans and that have watched you on TV, and I wasn't a guy that could tell you every episode of The Sopranos, but certainly watched enough of them to know who you are. So
well, there are fans out there that know every line, that they dissect the show and still talk about it and still quote it and so on and so forth. I don't even know if we have enough time, because I could talk Giants all day.
Good.
And I was liking what you were saying about the roster. And to me, Jerry Reese and his staff has done a great, great job. I'm hoping so that he's back, and it looks like Coach Coughlin is. As a matter of fact, they'd give him a four-year extension. What do you think of that? You look at the seven drafts that Jerry Reese has had, there's been very, very few busts. You know, like a Philip Dilliard, a Greg Jones, Clint Sintem come to mind. But so many guys have materialized. So many guys like the Kerry Wins, the Devin Kennard, you know, Hankins, Burhe. You go up and down these draft picks, and I think he's done a great job. I really have.
It's not like we always say, you know, it's when you get seven, maybe eight, sometimes when you look at the Jets, who had 12, they didn't do much with their guys. But the fact is that it's hard. You know, you get these guys and you do so much work and research on them. You have interviews, and, you know, the bottom line is that what can they do for you on the football field? And until they get on the football field, like this class has this year, it has been on the football field a lot, you realize that some guys they're just not cut out for it for whatever reason. And that's what makes it so difficult about drafting players. And you look back at Jerry Reese, and even going back into the Giant organization before Jerry was Ernie Accorsi, who certainly did a great job. And I got to thank Ernie Accorsi, because he brought me to the Giants organization here in 2003. And it's a tough deal, but, you know, if you can at least maybe get 75% of those draft picks to play and get production, it's a good thing.
Well, if you evaluate all his drafts and all his picks, and you know, you'll see these guys have contributed to two Super Bowls. And, you know, no one's infallible. No one could foresee accidents like a Chad Jones or a David Wilson injury. Mm-hmm. But could you imagine having Wilson and now Odell with Cruz?
Yeah.
And it would have been a scary offense. But be that as it may, you know, since we were mathematically out of it, you know, and now the long wait till free agents, then the draft, then the OTAs, then camp, and then the season again. So it's the dreaded time, because as soon as the Giants are done, I mean, you know, I catch
you're like a lot of people. Like, when's football starting again, right?
It becomes a lengthy offseason. But as you alluded to, Joe, when you can strike gold like the Giants did in this past year's draft with Odell Beckham, I mean, there are a number of bright spots that at least Giants fans like yourself can look forward to come 2015.
I want to get to Odell, but imagine, you know, we need an O-line, right? So if Cowboys picking behind this, and we would have took Martin, who's a very good player. I don't think he's a game changer. Can you imagine the Cowboys with Dez Bryant, with Odell, and what they would have said about Reese, that we had him right before him, we didn't take him? I mean, yeah. I don't even want, I can't even think about it.
We would be fielding those cars, those calls right now. I'm telling you, that would be horrible. And, yeah, he's a special guy. I mean, I've been watching and, you know, playing football a long time, and just to have a guy like that, and, you know, in my mind, this is just me personally, I think that an offensive lineman is great, and a guy like Zach Martin can really do good things for you, and obviously he is down there at Dallas, but when you get a guy that can make plays like Odell Beckham, I just feel like that is a better decision in my mind for the needs of a team, and it's just so much fun to watch this guy play, and you know what? I love him the way he has fun at what he does. You know, and we're all talking about his antics and, you know, and celebrations and this and that. But that's part of who he is. As long as he keeps it within the realms of not getting penalties, it's okay. But yeah. I think Giants fans love to watch him play football. And you watch and see what he does in the pregame and all those little things. That's just having fun. That's just his part of his routine. If you don't like it, don't watch it. You know?
He is having fun. And, I mean, we might be watching, you know, the LT of the offense, which come around once every, you know, so often, which I had the pleasure of doing a Sopranos episode, which one of my all-time thrills. But the thing about Odell is that I know he wants to have fun and he's enjoying it. Why not? 22 and electrifying the city in New York. I mean, what's not to like?
Absolutely.
But the celebrations are okay, as long as they don't cost you a penalty. Guys jump in the stands in Green Bay and, you know, so on and so forth. I don't mind that. It's the only thing I noticed a few games ago, and I said it to my guys when we watched the game. I said, this guy, if he starts getting under the skin of the DBs and starts, you know, rubbing them the wrong way, a 15-yard penalty is nothing to knock this kid out of the game.
Right.
And I saw it happen with DeSean Jackson and Dante Robinson when he was with the Falcons.
Good point.
And that's when the only thing that I know that Coach Coughlin is going to talk to him. He's a smart enough kid. And he has I had the pleasure when I was at camp of sitting next to his mother and talking to her for a while. And so he has good upbringing and a good family. And I think he's smart enough to realize what's at stake and what he can do in this city. So I'm not that overly worried about it yet.
Me either.
Well, and on yesterday's conference call, Tom Coughlin even mentioned that when he spoke to Odell Beckham on the plane ride back home, Odell said to him, Coach, stay on me. So when a player says that to a head coach, you know he's got his head on straight and he is very worked up and he wants to improve game to game. So that's certainly a positive.
Yeah, we've seen guys that didn't want to hear nothing and walk right by the coach.
Yep.
And it's happened here and it's happened elsewhere. And before you know it, their time is done and look at them. So, like I said, I'm glad that he has his head screwed on right, and that's a plus for us.
Well, Joe, we know you're a passionate Giants fan, as we're talking to Joe Ganiscoli, actor from The Sopranos. You also have taken your passion into the business side of things, and I know that you have helped develop sports bottle skins. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? How did you come about this situation, and how did it really come to fruition?
Well, I have a cooler in my house to get water delivery, and I looked at it and I said, you know, that's a bottle, it's big, why isn't my team on it? And I went online and looked up sports bottle covers and 5-gallon and saw there was nothing. And believe me, if you know this, NFL products, there's just about anything and everything you could imagine.
Sure.
It's got team logos on it because people are crazy for this, you know, their teams. So I got lucky, and the first thing I did, I had a friend mock it up, and I went to Pat Hanlon, and he directed me to the licensing of the NFL. And they said, listen, you could do this alone, which is not easy, or we could probably hook you up with someone. And they did, and they hooked me up with, like, the best company. And they're so smart in what they do, and yeah, they're in the plush license business, so they make these pillow pets and toys for kids. But the guy I deal with, Tom DeLuca, he's at his desk 5 a.m., 7 a.m. in the Garment Center, and he's there till like 7 at night. And I call him up. I can't tell you how many times I've called him up. First of all, my standing call is at 7:05, and I'll tell him, you know, I made this connection, I made that connection. So it's taken me about 2 years. It's a sleeve that goes over the water bottle. It's 100% spandex polyester, so it gives it a nice, sleek fit. And if people don't have a water cooler, they turn it upside down. It's a coin bank. And I'm happy to say that they're in Home Depot. They're testing in about 200 stores, and the big water bottle companies are carrying them. And we've gotten tremendous response. So I plant the seed, go nationwide.
And what about a website? Where else can people access this if they don't have a store near them that sells it?
Yes. It's sportsbottleskins.com. That's skins with a Z. And sportsbottleskins.com. They're $9.99. We get them out the next day. And they would have had it in time for Christmas. And let me tell you, when I went to camp and I gave one to Mr. Mara, Jerry Reese, Coach Coughlin, Pat Hanlon gave it to Eli, and I actually myself brought it way back when into the Giants locker room. I can't tell you how good that made me feel.
Sure.
To think that my idea now was, you know, in the locker room of the New York Giants. I mean, I was beyond surreal.
It's a great idea, and you think about, you know, for all those people, you know, if you own a business and you have an office, then the owner of the business should be able to put the New York Giants or whatever team they like on that water cooler in that break room, right? So, you know, the only thing I would caution about is that those guys that come in the middle of the night that might be a Redskins fan that buys one of those
and switches it around. Yeah.
You got a fight on your hand in the office.
we make all of them, and they're also functional because they help prevent algae if your bottle happens to get the light or indirect light. And let me tell you another thing. You know, I do the NFL show now and the sports licensing show, and there's a lot of shows. As a matter of fact, in our booth, Jim Kelly has a product out, and we're going to be he's going to be in our booth, which is pretty cool. But I had to learn very early on that it was so hard being nice, you know, to the buyers of the Eagles and the Cowboys because I would try
you, right?
to hold my tongue, and then I'd say, listen, your fans could use it, you know, they could turn it upside down and they could put their tears in them for because another year without the Super Bowl. And, you know, they would, they'd get a little nasty. And
of course.
Guy took me inside, he goes, listen, you're in business now. You can't be thinking like a fan. I said, listen, I don't know if I can control myself. Let me just walk away.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is one thing that, you know, and certainly you've done an outstanding job at your real career, if you will, but just to be able to be so passionate about a team and then, more importantly, be passionate about a product and be able to go out there and do something that you love to do and be in the sports arena. You know, the National Football League, they're pretty good at what they do as far as marketing, and I think you hooked up with the right people and you took the advice of that one person you could do by yourself or kind of get some help, and it sounds to me like you've been a great success, and, you know, we wish you the best of luck, and you know, I'm sure that you know, we could use a couple skins, don't you think, there, Lance? You know?
Absolutely,
they're on their way. I will be
sounds good, Joe.
Post haste.
Perfect. Well, Joe Gattascoli, kind enough to give us a few minutes. You can check out his product at sportsbottleskins.com. It's also sold in Home Depot as well as a variety of different stores. As Joe spreading his Giants passion across the
awesome.
NFL landscape. Joe, really appreciate the time and the insight. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Lance, Jeff, thank you so much for having me on. I wish everyone a tremendous holiday, Christmas, Happy New Year. And we got one game left. So
one game left.
The big wait starts.
You got it.
Absolutely.
Got it. Thank you,
Thanks
Joe.
So much, Joe.
See you guys.
Take
Have
care.
A good one.
Happy New Year and happy holidays to you as well. Joe Gattascoli, Vito from The Sopranos.
Vito.
Weighing
Vito.
In here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, a show that had a great impact to
it
many.
Did.
And
yeah,
it's still living on.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it was on before you know, I came to the Giants, and you know, when the opening scene comes and they got that music going, and then they're showing, you know, New Jersey Turnpike,
the shots of Jersey, yeah.
And the only recollection I ever had in the New Jersey Turnpike was when I was with the Eagles and we used to drive up the New Jersey Turnpike to come here. But you know, seeing that, and then all of a sudden now being when I was with the Giants and then driving it all the time, it kind of, as that open started to come more often and watching it, I was like, hey, I know where this is at. I know where that's at.
Yeah, you now, recognize
now,
that.
Now it's all right there for you. So, and a lot of people always ask me, you know, hey, where do you live at? I say, you know, I live in Jersey. Like, oh, are you a Sopranos fan? You know, because it's like New Jersey Sopranos, you know. It's
go hand in hand.
And not to mention, I would be remiss to say that, you know, every day coming to the work to the Giants, I go down Route 17, which is right by the Bada Bing.
There you go.
And not that I frequent it, but I just see the sign, you know, the big Bada Bing. It says home, original home of the Bada Bing. So it was a great time.
And that has ties, obviously, to The Sopranos, where Tony and company met.
That's where
and did
at.
All of their business.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. We're going to reopen up the phone lines. I know a few of you were on lines on hold while we chatted with Joe, so feel free to give us a ring back as we continue to break down the Giants, as well as look ahead to the Eagles matchup. It will be a rematch. They fell to the Eagles 27-0 in Philadelphia. The Eagles mathematically eliminated. Dallas Cowboys wrapped up the NFC East title. The offensive line obviously playing much better for the Giants over this three-game winning streak. Let's head back to the lines. Russ is in North Carolina. Russ, what's happening?
Hi, Russ.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Doing well, Russ. What you got?
Okay, I'm a long Giant fan. I've been watching the Giants since 1962.
Wow, that's even way before me.
And even before I existed.
Yeah.
All right, so what's your feeling on Tom Coughlin? If they win this next game against Philadelphia and they end up with a 7-9 again, do you feel that people might still have him retire?
You know what, I don't know what they're going to do. And obviously we're just two radio guys that talk about it. And, you know, fortunately I played in the league a long time. But, you know, really when you think about Tom Coughlin and, you see him around the building and his desire and what I don't think he's done coaching. I think he still has the energy. And more importantly, I still think he has the attention of the players to get him to play. They play for him, and he's doing the right things. And, they're on a nice streak here, granted all the injuries they've had and the new systems here and there. But, you know, we'll see sooner or later what's going to happen. I mean, Coach Coughlin, is, in my mind, you know, is a great coach. And as long as the players are still playing for him and he still has the passion to be the coach, I think there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, the thing about it is he might have one more year, in the coaching thing there, but the Giants are going to miss out on a real golden opportunity here, because there's an analyst on CBS, and I think we all know him as Bill Cowher, is probably one of the real great coaches, and he said he'll come out of the analyst and go into coaching again if he could find a team that he could take the Super Bowl and do great like that. And
yeah, but I wonder how long ago he said that. Because I honestly think that he's... Oh. Huh?
Because he actually bought a condo apartment in New York now.
Yeah, well, isn't it?
Well, he works in New York City, so you got to keep that in mind, right?
I think that he's, I just think that he has kind of like, I think that ship has sailed, and I think that he is doing so well with what he's doing on in his life now. And, you know, I know his daughters are into something and doing this. I don't know. I just think that, as far as if the Giants were ever going to do something like with a new coach and stuff, I think that they would probably, I don't know, they'd have to, I don't think he'll come out and do something like that, whether it's for the Giants or anybody for that matter.
And Russ, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much
for
weighing in.
Thanks for being a nice Giants fan. 1952.
Loyal.
That's awesome.
I think you gave him 10 extra years, Jeff. I think he said 1962.
Oh, well, 62.
We'll add on the extra decade.
Well,
he sounded like a good, passionate guy.
Well, 62, that's getting closer to my birthday. So.
We're within your range.
We're getting there, yeah.
We're still I was probably away from me, but
well, I was probably just being thought of about then, so. Yeah, you were just...
No,
yeah,
I wasn't even a thought.
Yeah, you weren't even...
An afterthought, I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know how we would describe that. Moving along, great transition here on the program. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Yeah. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm
Lance Meadow. Let's get into now. Who do we got next?
Let's head back to the lines. Will's in Florida. Will, how's everything
going?
What's
up, Will?
Hi, guys. So I want to talk about the draft because we know the Giants aren't in the playoffs anymore. So
we know that, yep.
Yeah, we have the 10th pick, the top 10 ranked players, Marcus Mariota, Leonard Williams, Jameis Winston, Randy Gregory.
Boy, Will, you're not wasting any time. We haven't even finished week 17, and already you're ranking guys.
Yeah, because, nothing to lose. We're not in the playoffs.
Well, but keep in mind, and we'll let you continue, Will. I really appreciate the passion. Free agency comes before the draft. Keep that in mind. So, before we start to speculate, the Giants still need to tackle free agency, and then you look at needs and voids with respect to the draft.
When does the free agency start?
Free agency usually gets underway the beginning of March. They moved it up a month.
All right. Well, in that case, we need to get Ndamukong Suh, I guess, because there have been some rumors that he wants to play for a New York team.
Well, we have heard the speculation, but it's really too early to start to connect the dots. I mean, the Giants are going to, I'm sure, explore their options. They're going to look at their current players, Jeff, and they're going to see what works best for them. Financial issues is obviously always a challenge for both the Giants as well as every other team. It's nice to throw out these names, but you have to keep in mind that everybody has to work within the same restrictions of the salary cap.
And they also, they have to work within their team first. I think that's the first priority, is to figure out and try to retain your own free agents to be, and I think that's what the Giants try to do first. They sit down, they evaluate the roster, they look at their free agents, they say, you know, it happens every year. There's free agents, and they just they're free agents. They leave, they don't offer them a contract, and then there's the guys that they do offer contract, and the Giants are one of the teams that they do their research very well, and they understand the market, and they're going to give their free agents that they want back a qualifying offer, and that they can take it. It's great. If not, then they're going to go out and try to get some other money.
Yeah, and I always thought we should get Randy Gregory, but from Nebraska Cornhuskers, but he's apparently speculated to have to be on the Raiders because the Raiders want to draft him, I guess. But do you guys know who Mark Ross is looking forward to drafting?
Well, let me ask you a question, Will. Let me ask you a question. Who do you want the Giants to draft?
Either Leonard Williams or Randy Gregory.
Okay. Well, Jeff Fiegels is going to take that message straight to the front office because
we have a little board
he has
over
a powwow
here, Will.
With
maybe
them.
We'll put you on the board and say that maybe we'll put Will up here and
that's right.
His picks, and then when we get started again next year, we'll go back and see if you were right. But it sounds to me like you got some time on your hands and you're doing a good job evaluating the draft and free agency. And we appreciate you being a young Giants fan. That's for sure.
Thanks so much, Will. You
right,
got
buddy.
It. Appreciate the call. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. We'll continue to take some more phone calls as we take you up till the top of the hour. Before we get back to the lines, Jeff, I just want to look a little ahead to this Philadelphia Eagles team.
Yeah, we do have a game this week.
Correct. We do have a game that we want to focus on. And what I have found interesting about the Philadelphia Eagles, and if you remember when we were previewing the first matchup, the Eagles were so opportunistic early in the season.
Yeah.
They have 10 return touchdowns from their defense and from their special teams. And when you do that week to week, you cover up some of your issues,
right,
whether it be on the back end of your defense, the fact that you're dead last in time of possession. They're 32nd because the offense moves so fast.
They turn the ball over.
They have been plagued by turnovers. Mark Sanchez, 10 interceptions over the last 8 games. And what's coincided with this losing streak, Jeff, is the return touchdowns are not there anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you're not able to cover up some of your other weaknesses.
And you kind of sit there and go, why? Why aren't they having? And, there's couple answers to that. Is number two, teams are knowing they were aware of the special teams production they were getting out of the Eagles, and they're game planning a little bit better. Injuries and all that kind of stuff goes hand in hand. But when you look at this team, you're right. The opportunistic, they're not that
opportunistic.
Opportunistic. Hello.
That's a mouthful. Yes.
So, but they turn the ball over at an alarming rate, and that's something that from a matchup standpoint, do we look at the Giants can exploit, and more importantly, their time of possession. They're such a fast offense,
yeah.
And really, if they get a first down, great. But if they don't, they're punting, and it's just like I know that's Captain Obvious, but the fact is that they really don't have, in my mind, a speed other than just go. And when they start to win games, they continue to try to do that up tempo offense. When really, when you could take a step back and say, okay, let's slow it down a little bit, and maybe that would increase their time of possession. But the Giants have a good opportunity. This is going to be a good game, and when we talk, what is this game for? On both sides of the ball, they're both out of the playoffs. It's a division game, which all games at the end of the year are. And this is one of those things where Mark Sanchez, the Giants get a crack at him in an Eagles uniform this time. Last time it was Nick Foles.
So they will have a change in quarterback. You mentioned time of possession, 26 minutes, 45 seconds. That's dead last in the NFL. And the other number that jumps off the page is the turnover differential. They're at minus 8, 27 takeaways, 35 turnovers. That's actually the most in the NFL. So they're tied for 25th right now. And it's hard to have – it's amazing, actually, I should say, that they have 9 wins considering, Jeff, the turnover differential is minus 8.
And those 9 wins, when you look where those wins came from, you know, back earlier in the season, and they were getting some other touchdowns, and they were getting some big plays. And let's not forget that this Eagles team has a lot of big play potential. You know, McCoy is in the lineup. You got Sproles is in there, and you got you know, Macklin and the young receiver.
Jordan Matthews
and Zach Ertz, who just a week ago had 15 receptions.
Yep.
And actually, and Zach Ertz had a touchdown in this earlier matchup with the Giants. So they have weapons. But one thing I can see, if this Giants defense continues, the defensive line continues to get after the passer, Mark Sanchez is going to be in for a tough day.
And they have been very consistent in terms of the sack department. That has bode very well for the Giants. Let's try to squeeze in a caller or two before we wrap up the program. Stas is in Washington. Stas, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
So, doing well.
Real quick, I just wanted to comment on Coach Coughlin real quick. So this is going to be a very strong opinion, so just...
So don't hang
well,
up
we're,
on you.
We're buckling ourselves in for this one, then.
All right.
You have our attention.
Are you ready?
I
hope that the Maras and the Tishas are listening.
It would be absolutely asinine
to get rid of Coach Coughlin. It would be even more asinine to replace Coach Coughlin with Coach Coward.
Yeah.
It seems to me that Coach Coward, the longer he's away from coaching, the greater his mystique grows. Because he didn't have a winning season after winning season. If anything, the Steelers were known throughout the 90s for being up 1 year and down another. Up 1 year and down another. And that was throughout Coach Coward's reign. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. He was an excellent coach. That's one. Secondly, anybody can lead a team that's winning. Anybody can lead a team and high five when everything is good, everyone is good. You get me a coach that keeps the team together after 2 losing seasons? That's the man I want right in my ship, because he has truly the ship ability, because he could take throughout the storm, keep calm in the center. And that's what we need in New York, because New York media is crazy. And you don't want coaches making decisions because fans are pushing them or the media is pushing them. Coughlin is a stone. He is an unyielding stone that everyone else will break against, because he knows he's guided by principle and by his own coaching methodology. And because of that, that's why I want him as my coach. Like, it would be unfair after 2 injury riddled seasons, a season of change with new coordinators and everything. And let's remind ourselves, the Packers under the first year under their current coach, Brett Favre didn't have a great year. Oh wow, there was a new system in place. Go figure. And Eli Manning has had a great year. He's not the reason why we're losing. We've had some significant things. So everyone calling for Coughlin's head is ridiculous. Like I'm sorry, if you only can do with what you're working with. And though we've had some great pieces added to the Giants this year, mm-hmm. last year, and I know a caller before gave Jerry Reese a lot of credit. Jerry Reese, to me, has been hit or miss on the draft, too. He's done some good things. He's also done some quite horrible things. And there's other things you can't account for when it comes down to injuries and stuff like that. But it would be absolutely asinine to get rid of this coach. He is one of the most respected coaches. And then here's the next thing. Who are you going to replace? Who's out there that's better? Who's out there that's better? I don't want to go into the circus that the 49ers went into when they got rid of
Mike Singletary, you're talking about?
Mike Singletary.
Not Mike Singletary. The coach that was with them when they beat us in the playoffs and they had that comeback with T.O.
Mariucci?
Steve
Mariucci.
Steve Mariucci. When they fired him for no good reason, just because the fans pretty much wanted it,
Stas, not to cut you off, the Giants do not have a track record of being influenced by what the media desires. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about that. You know, they have a track record of thinking things over very carefully and not rushing to judgment. And when you hear John Mara talk after every season, he has showcased that.
No, and you're right. And I guess it just frustrates me when I hear fans or I hear media calling for his head or saying his voice is gone. Obviously, his voice isn't gone.
No.
Obviously, this team, you see teams when they don't listen to their coach. You see how they fall apart. That hasn't happened. This team isn't pointing fingers at anybody. If anything, I think our team has character because most of the time you hear them saying, what? It's not the coach's fault. They're preparing us.
Well, the coach can build the character of his players by just being the way who he is. And Tom Coughlin does that. He builds characters. He builds men, young men. You hear of the guys that leave or either retire or go to another team. Listen to all those guys, what they say about Tom Coughlin. They may not have liked him when they got here, but when they leave, they loved him. A guy like Michael Strahan, who despises the guy, and now he loves him to death because he builds guys' character. He builds men. He teaches them how to play. He teaches them how to win. He teaches them how to react when they don't win. And more importantly, he teaches them how to be a good person, and that builds character within. And that's what he does a good job at, and that's what the Giant organizations understand about Tom Coughlin, that they may not get that from somebody else, you know, a young guy or this or that. So I think that what Lance is telling you is the truth. I think these guys, they know what they're doing. They have a history of putting a lot of thought process into who their coach is, and for good reasons. You look at Coach Coughlin, 2 world championships under his belt, and in my opinion, a Hall of Fame coach. You know, why you quit on a guy like that, I don't ever know.
And Stas, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Thank you so much, guys.
You got it,
Stas.
Have
a good holiday.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets, everybody, for weighing in. I do want to get to one last tweet, which pretty much sums up the conversation that we were talking about today, Jeff. And our good buddy Avery at TQMan AF writes, "The great thing is when the rookies were given the opportunity, they made the most of it. There is a bright future for the Giants."
Perfect. That's, you know what? You're right. There's nothing more need to be said about that right there. That is exactly. And you know what? When you are given it, and you never know when it's going to happen, There are guys, there are rookies that have been on the inactive every week. There's been guys that have been active every week that don't play much. But when you get your opportunity, and it doesn't have to be just a draft pick, you could be a young free agent player. Hello, Victor Cruz. Okay, make the best of your opportunity. Given the chance, do what you got to do to earn the spot on the roster. The National Football League is not an easy place to play, okay? It is the cream of the crop, and you better perform when you get a chance or you're not going to ever have a chance again.
So with that being said, appreciate once again everybody for chiming in on the conversation. Also, thanks to Joe Ganascoli for coming on the program.
That was fun.
Big Giants fan.
Thank you,
he
Joe.
Was able to share his new product and share his passion for the Giants, which I'm sure everybody out there listening and watching can certainly relate. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Tomorrow, Big Blue Kickoff Live with you at noon Eastern as we start to look ahead to the Philadelphia Eagles. Have a good one.
Have a good one, guys.
You're tuned in to listen to Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. The show will begin shortly.